Chris, I've got to admit to you, I'm a little nervous. Do you know what's happening this week? You should be nervous, too, because your favorites, it's right here. But what's happening this upcoming weekend?
I don't know, Lance. I'm not coming up with anything. I'm drawing a blank. You tell me.
Okay. Well, your Southern friends, Nichols, you ride them pretty well this year. It means well. They played a tough schedule, and they turned around and got the big win this last weekend. But this weekend, fortunately, they host them. But they play Lamar, and if Lamar wins this game and makes you look smart, I will be so angry because that's a team that I'm nervous. Just if Wofford can almost beat Western Carolina, Lamar, if they knock off Nichols and make that a three-way tie and Incarnate Word somehow gets in and Lamar looks good, I really need Nichols State to win that one by 60 just so I can just be like, yeah, Lamar sucks. But I'm nervous. I'll admit I'm nervous.
Well, yeah, don't sleep on my Cardinals.
Yeah, it's going to be a battle of red, and Chris's two favorite teams that aren't Eastern Washington. I'm sure you'll be there watching on somewhere. But
oh,
anyway,
yeah,
that will bring us
bated
in.
Breath.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. But that will bring us into the show, FCS Wedge preview show. Man, we're like week 11, week 12. We're really getting late in the season. It's a battle all year, but we're ready for it. This is episode 271, for those curious. Week 11 preview show, we've got Lance Burnt, me, as the host, with me as always, Chris Callum. And we've got some big games this weekend, and primarily in the Missouri Valley. Missouri Valley's got their poster weekend. They've got some huge ones. First up, let's throw it out there. Weirdly, a playoff, maybe entry game. Southern Illinois at North Dakota State.
We know the Salukis defense keeps them in games. They're especially good against the run. They're giving up just 83 yards per outing. You need to be able to do that against the Bison because we know they're going to run the football. But Cam Miller has been allowed to make more pass attempts this year, and he's been solid. His completion percentage is like 72-73%, so he's very accurate. Still, if they're not having as much luck on the ground, can Cam Miller go out and win the game with his arm? If you look at the Bison on defense, they're giving up around a touchdown more per game than their, let's call it, historical average, or at least since they've been on their glorious run. And opponents are also averaging 123 yards per game on the ground, and that's a pretty big number. I mean, it seems like there were years where they were below 80 yards per given up on the ground, always below 100. So that's significant. That's an extra couple of first downs, and that can be all the difference in a defensive type of contest. So bottom line, Lance, I expect this game to be close. North Dakota State's at home. I would be surprised if they don't win, but Southern Illinois' defense can keep them in it at least.
Well, yeah, and that's what's one of the weirdest things. You pull up the old conference stats and what year to be, North Dakota State is fourth in the conference, tied with Northern Iowa for points allowed. You haven't seen that in a long time, with all the South teams beating them, South Dakota State, Southern Illinois, South Dakota. But, yeah, a defensive battle most likely set to place just the way Southern Illinois' games have gone, and a must-win game. When's the last time the Bison had a must-win game in the regular season? It's been forever. And you got to like them just because they need it, and they win usually when they need it. And as long as they've been around, they've been able to come out and get that win. But, yeah, I agree with you. This should be a battle, a defensive battle. I think NDSU's defense is going to step up a little more than they have in the big games thus far. Southern Illinois, weaker offense than you would expect. And so I think that, yeah, this will be another low-scoring Southern Illinois battle out there. First team to 20 maybe gets in there. But I like NDSU in this one. I think their veteran leadership, but also their coaching staff, knows how to get ready for these November games. I could see a different animal coming in, and I think they're going to step up. They don't want to go to Northern Iowa with a must-win game. They want to get that seventh win now. That'll be the battle there. Then we go out to a game that I really think should leave the conference, but I just want Youngstown State out of the Valley just because it's getting a little bigger and they're not in the geographical footprint. But anyways, beside the point, we've got South Dakota State at Youngstown State. Do the Penguins stand a chance? South Dakota State's kind of on fire right now.
Well, you got to say they have a chance. I don't think it's a very good chance because I agree the Jackrabbits are looking unbeatable. But the Penguins are at home, and you know, you look at their resume and their losses, and their 3-point losses to UNI and South Dakota away from being in the discussion for a high seed. I mean, so they can play football. Their offense is much better. They're led by Mitch Davidson at quarterback, Tyshawn King at running back. They average 35 points per game. Surprisingly enough, the problem for them has been defense, and the Jacks can exploit that. I think it would be just a huge upset for YSU to do it. They have a chance, but bet on the Jackrabbits.
Well, it is interesting the way the schedule has gone. Youngstown avoids both North Dakota and North Dakota State. It was pretty balanced across the board for the Valley this year. Youngstown probably had the best advantage in that sense. But here they get South Dakota State. They have played South Dakota and Southern Illinois and Northern Iowa, as you mentioned. But I just haven't seen enough out of their defense. In some of their games, they're allowing just too much to the opposition on offense. And so, yeah, their offense could get things going, but South Dakota State's defense is probably the best in the country. And they have a very good offense, too. So I think South Dakota State's just going to roll. I know I said that with Southern Illinois, but I underestimated Southern Illinois' defense. They've played well all year. Youngstown State's defense has not. So I see this kind of just being a beating, unless if Youngstown can find a way to put some points on the board or force a crazy amount of turnovers. I don't think they stand a chance. I'm just throwing this one at you just quick, just because it's a huge game. Well, but we've got North Dakota at South Dakota. An interesting setup because historically, strangely, at least in the last, well, no, not really. When they've needed to, South Dakota dominates this game. When it's not as high of a need, North Dakota plays pretty well. But in those years where North Dakota had some excitement, South Dakota kind of rocked them. I remember 2017 was one of them. But UND, it's a nice back and forth battle the last few years. It's kind of gone either way. And I think this one's got a chance to be just another real exciting game between a good defense and a good offense. Which one's going to go, Chris?
Yeah, there's definitely a little bit of a mismatch here. North Dakota, on the one hand, has shown that they can pass the ball. Tommy Schuster has been there for eons, is a talented quarterback, good senior leader. But you go back to the North Dakota State game where North Dakota looked unstoppable. And a lot of that was running the football. So they're more of a dynamic offense than South Dakota is, but they don't have the defense that South Dakota has. And you look at North Dakota's schedule, and we know about the big win against the Bison, but what's their next best win? I mean, it's 3-6 Northern Arizona. Is it, 6-3 Drake? Drake's having a nice season, but they're a Pioneer team. You know, so I'm not convinced. I'm not sold on North Dakota. And I think South Dakota State has a ton to play for. Like I mentioned, I think they're playing for a high seed. And I think that they take care of business here. And I think they win this one. And they win it by a couple of scores.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. I just said it. I kind of had to bite my tongue a little bit with Youngstown State having a weak schedule. North UND, they miss out on Youngstown and Southern Illinois. So that's another top tier that they do get fortunately miss out on. And, yeah, like you say, NDSU is their win. That's their win. In Massey, if we're going by that, it's Northern Arizona's the top-ranked team. For some reason, they have a high ranking in Massey, probably because they played one of the toughest schedules. But it's hard to equate them at this point. But anyways, yeah, you're right. They don't have anything, and it's a tough scenario. If South Dakota comes out with their defense, and I think their offense can play. We saw them play pretty well against Youngstown State. If they can get things rolling, that it's really no chance for North Dakota. They have to have a huge offensive game like they did against NDSU. But yeah, I could see South Dakota winning by 10 or more points. And North Dakota's going to have to play their best game to win this one.
Yeah, going back to the Fighting Hawks for a second, too, they're ranked pretty high in Massey. They're at 12, and you kind of scratch your head why. And you want to look and go, well, maybe their opponents, the games they won, their opponents rebounded and put some wins up, but that's not really the case, So it's kind of puzzling why the computers and the Massey rankings or ratings have them up there at 12.
Yeah, I mean – usually, especially in Massey, the Missouri Valley, is definitely hyped. And now the last couple of years, the Big Sky has been as well. So like we saw with Northern Arizona, and that's one of the reasons Austin Peay is so high, because one of their losses is to a Valley team. And so I could see that being the reason. But let's move on to a first place battle in the combined Big South OBC. There are three teams with one conference loss. Two of those teams are Southeast Missouri State and Tennessee Martin. And as I mentioned in the review show, if Tennessee Martin wins this game, Gardner Webb is in very high control. All they have left is Tennessee Tech and Charleston Southern, and they own the tiebreaker over Tennessee Martin. If Southeast Missouri State wins this game, it's going to end up being a super coin flip like last year because they didn't play Gardner Webb. Or since they both have one loss, there could be a better tiebreaker in there. But it sets up to be a battle. Do you think Southeast Missouri State can come in and get a win?
Yeah, I do, for a couple of reasons. I mean, I think that the Redbirds have underperformed. I think they have the talent to put together a little bit of a win streak. And then Tennessee Martin, I was never extremely high on them to begin with. I mean, I ranked them appropriately. But, you know, for a while there, they were in the top 10, I believe, in a lot of polls. And they struggled against a not very good Tennessee Tech team last week and were lucky to come away with the win in overtime. And they gave up a ton of points. And so I think Southeast Missouri has a decent shot to win this game. Like you mentioned, it's a mess up there at the top. And, you know, I think Gardner Webb might be playing the best of the three, but it's going to be fun to watch how it goes. And SEMO might be kind of like a Gardner Webb where they sneak into the playoffs. We gave up on them, and the way things shake out, they win the conference auto bid.
Well, yeah, there were a couple games in there that I was watching just kind of the box score of the whole way that it seemed like the other team was going to win. One of them was Missouri State, I believe Illinois State. It seemed Missouri State had it won. And then this one, Tennessee Tech, Tennessee Martin. I believe Tech was ahead 38-24 and just kind of gave it up. Tennessee Martin with a game-saving touchdown drive at the very end to tie the game, and it went to overtime, and then they scored to get the win. But yeah, it was looking like, wow, this Martin team that was kind of overrated, and they had some okay wins on the slate, but still nothing too impressive. But now they got a chance to step up and just kind of hang on to whatever opportunity they have. At 9-2, they'd at least be in the conversation for a potential bid. They'd have a win over another team that would be in that conversation in Eastern Illinois. So they'd just be in that conversation. If they lose this one, I think they're out because they're out of the conference and out of the conference race. And so it's just too much of an uphill climb, in my opinion. So it's a must-win game for them, but they're playing a Southeast Missouri State team, like you said, is underperforming. They had games just slip out of their hands. They should have beaten Southern Illinois. They should have beaten Eastern Kentucky. They should have beaten Central Arkansas. All three of those games, teams came from behind to win that one. I believe Eastern Kentucky came from behind. I know Central Arkansas scored something like 30-some points in the last quarter. 32 to come on that one.
They definitely came from behind. I watched the Southern Illinois game, and that was Nick Baker, you know, working his magic right at the very end. But you take those four losses throughout the Kansas State, because that's the FBS game. But those four losses were for a combined 10 points. I mean, they played everybody tight, and they're just, you know, a play or two away from being, you know, the two-loss team versus the five-loss team that they are.
Yeah, they're one defensive stop in three different games away from being 6-2 or 7-2 right now with legitimate talk about being a seed, because they have good wins. I mean, they would have good wins. Eastern Illinois, not a bad win. That's a 6-3 team that's played decent, solid thus far, and they have a road win at Nichols, who's probably going to win the Southland, barring a big Lamar upset. It's a Southeast Missouri State team that's played well. So they would be deserving. They get the auto bid, but they've got two more tough games to finish off. They've got to keep playing well to have a chance. And then it's up to that tiebreaker that I have to look into again. Then we've got the battle for second place right now. If Austin Peay stays in first, but a huge game because if Central Arkansas wins, they control their own destiny. So they do still. But Eastern Kentucky at Central Arkansas. Chris?
Well, I brought this game up, put it on the sheet, because the Colonels are playing out the string to a certain degree. But Parker McKinney can keep them in most games. And the Bears score in bunches as well. And the Bears are fighting for their playoff lives. They have that final game against Austin Peay. Eastern Kentucky scores 29 points per game. Central Arkansas scores 35. Or no, wait. I'm sorry. Eastern Kentucky scores 29 and they give up 35. Central Arkansas scores 32 and they give up 32. This should be a high-scoring game. I wouldn't be surprised if both teams finish in the high 40s or even low 50s. And a question back to you, Lance. Aside from my difficulties in remembering where to place all of these various teams from the OVC, the Big South, the UAC, it's kind of fun. I mean, I think we're the combination of the teams in those two conferences that get auto bids, that are this an amalgamation of that part of the country, I guess. They're playing some good football, and I think it's refreshing, and I don't think these are the type of teams you necessarily write off as one and done in the playoffs.
No, I really like this combination because this conference is just a good game every week all across the conference. I run a pick 'em contest, and I can just pick whatever I want from the UAC because other than North Alabama, every game's probably going to be a battle, and even North Alabama can sneak in there and get something. They beat Chattanooga. But Central Arkansas's offensive numbers have dwindled. They haven't scored more than 27 the last three games. They do have a 70-point game against the NAIA, a terrible NAIA team. So you throw that out the window, and their average probably goes down a little bit. So they have slowed down a little bit on offense. Eastern Kentucky, they're off. I mean, they remind you, if you want a team you haven't seen them play, they remind you of FBS Colorado right now. Extremely dynamic offense that can go crazy in any fourth quarter, but very, very bad defense. I mean, they have not given up less than 30 points to other than Northern Alabama in their last six games. So they're just not playing defense. They're going to try to run the score up against Austin Peay. They couldn't do squat the first few quarters, and then all of a sudden they scored 21 in the fourth, forced it into overtime. So it's a team that can do a lot late, and they're always in the game. Same with Central Arkansas. It'll be a high-scoring battle, I think. Barring a bunch of turnovers, I think this will go down to the final drive. Then our final one, kind of a shaky game with Lafayette choking last week, but we've got Fordham at Lafayette.
Well, I'd like to refer to Lafayette as Lance's Lamar of the North. The Leopards let Holy Cross back into the Patriot title race with their loss last week to Colgate. Is not very good. Fordham, they're out of the race. They're a dangerous team. They lost to Buffalo, played well. It was a tight game. They lost to Holy Cross by just 3 points. Both teams run solid offenses but tend to give up quite a few points. A player to watch here, Lance, is Lafayette's Billy Schaefer. He has 10 sacks, 19.5 tackles for a loss on the season. He might be a difference maker, but I think this is going to be another high-scoring game as most of the ones involving, especially Fordham, are.
Well, yeah, we hype up Massey all the time, and surprisingly on Massey, even though it's on the road, Fordham is favored in this one. Lafayette was playing very good on defense a lot of the way, and they've kind of slipped up the last couple weeks, but like that was what got them the big win against Holy Cross, was they made a lot of defensive stops. When needed, yeah, they allowed 35 points, but they held Princeton to 9. They were playing pretty good defense in the first half of the year. It's just the last couple weeks where it's been a little higher. The Colgate game was just kind of a weird what happened in that result just because of how things had been happening for them. Just maybe just got a little tight. They didn't expect to be top of the conference at this point, and looking at it where – they need two losses to fall out of the conference race. They're like, okay, we got it locked up. And they just got a little loose. And Colgate, an upset-minded Colgate came in. Well, we've got upset-minded Fordham. Like you said, Fordham basically out of it. So they're going to come in dangerous, and they're going to come in ready. And so it's going to be up to old Dean DeNoble to have a big game, but they're running crew. Jamar Curtis and then the rest of the attack. This is their time to shine. Fordham's not good on defense, so just pound the ball. Ground and pound nonstop, and you can come away with this with an easy win in this one, but we shall see. Fordham's very good offense, always dangerous. Chris, that about wraps up our games. I just got a quick question for you. We're looking down the standings. Who's someone that you think right now that's typically in is most at risk of missing the playoffs?
Question.
And before you answer, I do want to pop in real quick, a nice little chime in. Right now, Davidson and Drake are undefeated in the Pioneer Football League, and they don't play each other. So if Drake and Davidson both win out, Drake's got a road game at Butler, a solid team. They're at 7-3 and a competitive game against Presbyterian, who's improved this year. They're playing tough games. But if they win out, they both win out, they'll be undefeated. And the tiebreaker in the conference is the best teams you've played. So if you've been fortunate to play the worst teams in the conference, that's going to hurt you in the tiebreaker. And so their conference record, the record of the teams they play, Drake has a much better record because they beat St. Thomas. So that tiebreaker Drake will own. I've calculated all the scenarios. If Drake and Davidson tie, Drake will be the playoff representative. And Missouri Valley teams will love that because that'll be a nice home game against Drake. But we shall see what happens from that. But yeah, you go ahead, Chris.
Well, I'm still searching, Lance, because I'm guessing you have somebody in mind. The one that kind of stands out to me, and this will make you happy, is if Nichols wins out, you could find Incarnate Word on the outside looking in.
How many villages do you think I'll burn down if Incarnate Word gets in? Goodness gracious. I mean, at least history is on our side with this, because 2012, yeah, that was a long time ago, but Lehigh had been in the playoffs. They had been top of the line. That was when we always called them Lehigh's far too high in the rankings or whatever. But they went 10-1. They only had one loss in conference, but it was to Colgate, who got the auto bid. And then they were not selected for the playoffs. And that whole year, they were undefeated, but they were just barely beating teams and never beating a very great team. They were just winning by 7, by 6, one score games. And Incarnate Word's played a vastly worse schedule than Lehigh did that year. Like, way worse of a schedule so far, and they are still getting those little one-score games over now one loss or one win teams, zero win teams, just barely winning. And if they get in and they have a lower division win, they won't get a win against Northwestern State because they've canceled their season. So they will finish the year with just 7 D1 wins, 7 NCAA wins. So if they get in, yeah, that'll make my blood boil.
Overall record of 9-2 out of the Southland, and you don't get an at-large, that'd be surprising. I know we both know the Southland has fallen. I'm just not convinced that the committee is as aware as you and I are. The other one that I just caught would be Central Arkansas, who's, you know, in the playoffs pretty much every year, and they certainly could go down either against Eastern Kentucky or Austin Peay or both. And then the third one, which is the one we already hinted at, they have two very tough games remaining. Southern Illinois at home, at Northern Iowa. The Bison could finish 6-5, but I'm guessing a 6-5 Bison team gets in.
I don't think a 6-5 NDSU team will this year, just because we have so many teams at that line in a year where there'd be only a couple like 7-4. But at 7-4, they're definitely in. I don't think a 6-5 one would, though. Upset alert, though, is Southern Illinois. If they lose to North Dakota State, then they get Indiana State, who they'll get a win, you assume, this weekend against Western Illinois, have some confidence. And they've played some tough games against teams. They've kind of stopped. I expected them to play better against Youngstown, but they had a solid game against South Dakota, almost beat North Dakota, almost beat Northern Iowa. This had very narrow losses in those conference games. They could just be super upset-minded and sneak in there and get play against a team without a very good offense. That could be a little problematic with that final game for Southern Illinois. They're kind of on that, you got to win. You might as well just win in Fargo right now because you don't want to leave it up to an upset-minded team to keep you out of the playoffs. What angers me most and I'll just quickly touch on it or whatever, is the CAA. How in the world could a team get to start the year? Imagine starting the year losing to a 3-5 MEAC team, and then Hampton, yes, they're 5-4, but they shouldn't be 5-4. They beat Howard, Grambling, North Carolina A&T, and Maine. And those are Richmond's two losses. But then they've played such an easy conference schedule. They haven't beaten anybody. Rhode Island is the one team even close to 500 that they've beaten. Campbell, they just beat. But they could get to. They upset Elon. Even if they don't upset Elon, they play William & Mary at 7-4, even 8-3. I don't think they're deserving in. But we're going to see it because the CAA is just way too big now. But that should wrap us up. It's the FCS Wedge presented by AnyGivenSaturday.com. I'm Lance Burnt, reporting out of Bainville. With me, as always, Chris Callum, Cheney Washington, and then our producer, Troy Burnt, out of Missoula. We've got a crew of games upcoming this week, especially in the Missouri Valley, but it's going to be a battle. Have some great time watching the games, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Okay, Chris, we pulled it off.
Good job, Lance. Talk to you next week.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds good. We'll see you.